This morning on WCHL, no tax rate increases for Orange County. But just how long can it last?
This trend is not sustainable, obviously. There will be tax increases in the future.
Bethany Cheney joins the Carrboro Board of Aldermen.
I, Bethany Cheney,
do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
And a court ruling will keep the identity of student-athletes of UNC's paper classes confidential. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carrboro traffic and weather together. We have a lot of WCHL championship sports to talk about today. UNC baseball team takes down NC State to advance to round-robin ACC tournament action. The women's tennis team in Carolina nearly recorded its first NCAA championship. However, a local high school team, Carrboro High, swept its opponent for a state tennis title. And
what's in a nickname Charlotte hopes a lot.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06 at WCHL, 63 degrees. Expect a lot of sunshine today. Just a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Great day. High today in the upper 80s. Next year's Orange County budget does not include a tax increase, but officials say it's getting more difficult to balance the budget using reserve funds. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
If approved as written, next year's county budget will be the sixth in a row without a property tax rate increase. But interim Orange County manager Michael Talbert told the board that streak can't continue for much longer.
This trend is not sustainable, obviously. There will be tax increases in the future.
The $195 million budget is about 4.2% larger than last year's, and it's balanced using $8.5 million from the county's fund balance. Talbert said the amount of reserve money required to balance the budget keeps going up each year.
In 2010-11, the board appropriated $401,000 to balance the budget. This year, it's $8.5 million. Considerable difference, but the budget is balanced.
The budget includes money for a 2% cost of living and merit raise for county employees and funding for an engineering study to bring sewer service to Rogers Road. When it comes to school spending, the budget proposal allocates $92.3 million, nearly $3 million more than last year, which amounts to an additional $95 per student, or a total of $3,364,000 per pupil. But the plan doesn't fully fund the budget request from either school district. Board members have the option to raise the countywide property tax rate or the Chapel Hill Carrboro Special District tax rate to generate more money for schools. Commissioners will host two public hearings on the budget scheduled for May 22nd and 29th. The final budget will be adopted by June 17th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The newest member of the Carrboro Board of Aldermen was sworn in last night at Town Hall, and then she got right down to business. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
I, Bethany Cheney,
do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support and maintain.
That I will support and maintain.
The Constitution and laws.
The Constitution and laws.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
Carrboro Planning Board Chair Bethany Cheney took her seat next to Mayor Lydia Lavelle, who moved from that seat back when she was elected mayor, at Tuesday night's alderman meeting. The swearing-in was performed by Superior Court Judge Alan Badur and was preceded by a reception with food, friends, and lots of supporters. After Badur made it official, Cheney stepped behind the speaker's podium and thanked a lot of people, including her new colleagues on the Board of Aldermen. Cheney won the seat in a three-way race with Talal Assad and Teresa Watson last month, and on Tuesday night, she credited the alderpersons for treating all three candidates equally. She said that helped make the special election a real race.
Talal and Teresa and I all appreciated your mutual support and your even support and the opportunity to meet each other and learn about each other and compete with each other on the campaign trail.
When it was time for the mayor and alderpersons to speak, including a vacationing Michelle Johnson who sent a video, there were praises for Cheney's work with the planning board, as well as in the areas of affordable housing and climate change. Here's alderperson Damon Siles.
I'm just looking forward to learning from you because one of the experiences I've had and has been special to me about getting to know you on the planning board and since that time is that I do learn from you. And I think that's what a lot of us have the ability to do up here. And that's the best part of this job, I think, is when we're able to learn from each other and learn from people in the community about how to do things better.
Afterward, the board unanimously appointed Cheney to join Siles as the Board of Aldermen's second representative to the Transit Partners Committee. Cheney joins the Board of Aldermen just as they are working on the budget for fiscal year 2014 to 2015. Only four members of the public stepped up to speak about the recommended $29.5 million budget. Most of them were there to thank the board for various actions. Mary Jane Seda from the Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness asked the town of Carrboro to create a dedicated funding source for affordable housing, a request the partnership is making to all local municipalities. Alderperson Sammy Slade replied that the Affordable Housing Task Force is currently making that a priority. Some of the votes Cheney participated in on that first night included the unanimous approval of a walk-up ATM at Carrboro Plaza and the unanimous conditional approval for a text amendment to change the designation of affordable homes in the Legends subdivision to benefit current owners struggling with HOA dues and other costs. They want to be able to sell the homes at market values. Cheney also nominated Carrboro community organizer Quentin Harper to a seat on the board of directors of Orange Water and Sewer Authority. That also passed by a unanimous vote. For more on this story, you can read about it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A state superior court judge has denied the public release of a spreadsheet identifying UNC student-athletes enrolled in so-called paper classes. The News Observer reports that Judge Brian Collins issued the ruling on Monday. The NNO had sued the university for the release of the spreadsheet, which lists each class and how many athletes from each sport were enrolled. Earlier this month, Judge Collins had ruled the spreadsheet could be released if it didn't identify particular athletes by name. But on Monday, Judge Collins ruled that the information contained in the spreadsheet could be used to identify specific athletes based on other public records currently available. The Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, otherwise known as FERPA, is the law in question. It protects the privacy of student records. A bill that would make it a crime to publicly disclose the secret chemical cocktails energy companies pump into the ground when fracking for natural gas is headed for a vote at the North Carolina Senate. A pair of legislative committees on Tuesday quickly approved that bill, which could go to the full Senate floor as soon as this afternoon. The new legislation would allow drilling to begin in North Carolina next year. The legislation requires energy companies to submit a list of the chemicals being used to the state geologist, who would then keep them locked away in case of an emergency. Industry groups claim the chemicals are trade secrets, and the legislation exempts the list from disclosure as public records. Unauthorized disclosure of those chemicals would be a felony. A recording device was taken from a reporter during a North Carolina Legislative Committee meeting after a co-chairman said such devices need to be approved. Senator Rick Gunn, Republican from Alamance, co-chairman of the Senate Commercial Services Committee, said yesterday that audio devices need to be approved by the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms in order to record meetings. He later rescinded that comment, saying that approval was not needed because it was the committee's first meeting. North Carolina Press Association attorney Amanda Martin says pre-approval of recording devices would violate the state open meetings law. Gunn said later that he misspoke in response to an unattended device at the table and that recording devices of all kinds are allowed in public meetings and do not have to be approved. The North Carolina House has tentatively agreed to a wide-ranging tax bill that caps municipal business privilege taxes and places an excise tax on electronic cigarettes. The chamber voted 83-35 for the measure on Tuesday after a majority turned back an effort to remove the e-cigarette tax from the bill. A final House vote is expected today before the bill heads to the Senate. The bill limits local privilege taxes to $100 per year and puts a 5-cent tax on certain size cartridges of nicotine inserted into an e-cigarette holder. Representative Becky Carney of Charlotte says the House was acting hastily on the e-cigarette tax while federal officials are working on how to regulate them. But bill sponsor Representative Julia Howard of Moxville suggested it was better than collecting no excise tax. And more news out of the North Carolina General Assembly in Raleigh. The Republican-led legislature's annual effort to scale back regulations that supporters label burdensome or outdated has started in the North Carolina Senate. A Senate committee voted on Tuesday and supported more than 70 changes on topics ranging from environmental permitting to how swimming pools are built to accommodate people with disabilities. Community colleges also would get the same authority to sell beer made in distillation programs as college winemaking programs have for their product. The legislation also eliminates a 1918 statute, making it illegal to use profanity on roadways in all but two counties in North Carolina deemed unconstitutional, and increases penalties for taking protected plants like Venus flytraps. The GOP has approved omnibus regulatory bills routinely since taking over the General Assembly in 2011. The bill now heads to another Senate committee. WCHL News Time, 8:14. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point. Not a lot of problems this morning as far as traffic is concerned, I don't think. Rand Northam is here to tell you all about it.
Well, the usual slowdowns. We're seeing some of the areas that we usually do. A little bit congested this morning, 15501, seeing the slowdowns northbound and southbound, and you can expect those really from Raleigh Road all the way up through the I-40 interchange up to Garrett Road. I-40 is moving smoothly in the Orange County area right now, and even looking towards Wake County and heading towards Raleigh, things are actually moving fairly smoothly. We do have an accident. This is right around, that's actually Chapel Road, NC-54, off of I-40 in Wake County, right around Raleigh as I-40 moves to the south. So an accident there. If you're trying to travel, into this direction, you might see a slowdown there. As well, and NC-54 Raleigh Road heading eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, seeing some slowdowns. If you see anything throughout the day as you travel, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Crown Honda of South Point is the home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. 63 degrees, mostly sunny today. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today, about 88 degrees. Knocking on the door of 90, a really warm one. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and low in the middle 60s, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunder boomers in the afternoon. Our high tomorrow, about 90 degrees. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee, fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers, good to go. You can start your day at Cruisers. News around town this morning in cooperation with Triangle Transit. The Orange County Planning and Inspections Department is holding two more public meetings this month on bus services and the county's new bus and rail investment plan. County officials want your input on specific recommendations for expanding and extending bus services in central and rural Orange County. The next meeting is tomorrow in the Hillsborough Town Barn. The last meeting is 1 week from tonight at the Eflin Cheeks Community Center. That's Wednesday, May 28th from 5:30 until 7 p.m. Six Chapel Hill Carborough teachers have won endowed teaching chairs, courtesy of the Public School Foundation. This year's recipients are Candace White of Glenwood Elementary School, Danae Shipp of McDougal Middle School, Catherine Pardue of Phillips Middle School, Ashley Laver of Raskus Elementary School, Ashley Lang of East Chapel Hill High, and Jack Watson of Chapel Hill High. The annual endorsements come with a 2 or 3 year cash stipend. Outstanding educators in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system, and some being recognized with these very special endowments. It is 8:17 at WCHL. Let's get to WCHL championship sports. A lot to talk about this morning. The Carolina baseball team survived elimination in the ACC tournament by slipping past North Carolina State 4-3 on Tuesday. What a relief. Tar Heels by the Wolfpack. And that happened at Newbridge Bank Park in Greensboro. WCHL's Matt Oakes has the report.
Second pitch driven into the gap in right center field. Ramirez will close, will catch, and the game is taken by Carolina.
That was Dave Nathan of the Tar Heel Sports Network with the call. With the victory, the Tar Heels improved to 33-23 on the season and all but locked up an NCAA tournament berth. The Wolfpack, however, fell to 32-23 on the year and likely saw their postseason hopes dashed, evaporated with the loss to their in-state rival. In his first bit of relief work in 2014, Carolina ace Trent Thornton retired the final five batters to avoid extra innings in a rivalry that has seen its fair share of marathon thrillers. Michael Russell recently left off the first-team All-ACC squad, bashed a double and a triple to lead the Carolina attack that totaled 8 hits in the contest.
Russell uncorks a fly ball into the gap in left center. It's over the head of a diving Fincher, and it's all the way to the wall. Dunbar's waved around third. He'll score. It's 2-1 Carolina, thanks in large part to the one-out RBI triple off the bat of Michael Russell.
The Tar Heel bats certainly came out strong, racing out to a 4-1 lead in the third inning with a trio of runs. But the Wolfpack offense responded in the fourth with a pair of runs of their own to narrow the gap down to a single run. From there, the game slowed down to a crawl as both pitching staffs repeatedly responded under pressure to remain unscathed. Carolina arms Zach Rice, Trevor Kelly, Spencer Traynor, and Thornton faced 10 base runners and stranded every one of them. There will be no time for celebration, though. Next up for the Tar Heels is a Wednesday night battle with second-seeded Florida State. First pitch is scheduled for 7 p.m. UNC will send Taylor Cherry to the mound to face FSU's Billy Strode. The Tar Heels will go into the contest with confidence. The last time the two schools met, Carolina emerged victorious at Bochimer Stadium. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Georgia Tech got past Wake Forest 5-3 in an Atlantic Coast Conference tournament play-in game also yesterday. Ninth-seeded Yellow Jackets advance into round-robin play today. They will have to face top seed Miami. The North Carolina women's tennis team fell to UCLA just barely in a 4-3 decision Tuesday afternoon in Athens, Georgia. Tar Heels coming up just short of the program's first national championship. With the defeat, the Tar Heels finished the season at 29-6. That mark serves as the best record in the program history for head coach Brian Kalbas' team. Perhaps the shocker of the day was at number one singles, where Carolina's outstanding freshman Jamie Loeb lost 6-2, 6-2 to UCLA's Robin Anderson. Loeb's 25-match winning streak was snapped to a player she had previously beaten twice. Despite the setback, the Tar Heels battled on to tie the match with straight set wins from Haley Carter and Kate Vialli that tied the match at 2-2. The match hinged on three final matches. Each of the courts was sent to a third set, but it was UNC's Caroline Price who couldn't hold on at court three despite a valiant effort against Kyle McPhillips that saw her fight off three championship points. When Price's final forehand sailed a little long, UCLA earned its second national title. Although the team championships are finished now, individual glory is still at stake for many Tar Heels. Top seed Loeb, 50-2 on the year. What a season. We'll be looking to rebound from Tuesday's disappointment, while Carter also will be featured in singles play. Singles play begins this afternoon with doubles action starting up tomorrow. The Carrboro High men's tennis team defeated Brevard 5-0 yesterday for the North Carolina High School Athletic Association 2A State Dual Championship. Junior Matt Fritsch was selected as the championship MVP. Freshman Jason Wyckoff was selected Most Outstanding Sportsmanship recipient. Details on all those stories on our website at chapelboro.com. Also, Carolina point guard Stillman White has returned to UNC basketball after a two-year hiatus to serve a Mormon mission trip. That announcement came yesterday. Stillman White played his freshman season as a reserve under former point guard Kendall Marshall, while also playing a starting role in Carolina's last two games that season in the NCAA tournament amid Marshall's season-ending wrist injury. But as a starter in those last two games of the season, when it was crunch time, White dished off 13 assists and had zero turnovers in those two games. Head coach Roy Williams says he's looking forward to White's return as a solid guard with experience and strong collegiate basketball play. Certainly an outstanding ball handler. A lot of depth now at point guard. There are four others who can play the point, including Bob Cousy Award finalist Marcus Page, who now should be freed up to play two guard this season. Fellow returners Nate Britt and Luke Davis are back alongside incoming commit Joel Berry, who by all accounts is just an amazing point guard. White is now enrolled in summer classes and expected to rejoin the team for the 2014-2015 season as a sophomore. WCHL Championship Sports, I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
What's in a nickname? Charlotte hopes a lot. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. The Bobcats are now the Hornets again, and even though team owner Michael Jordan wasn't at the official renaming, he must have had a $500 Nassau at his home course in Florida. It cost him an estimated $4 million to rebrand the team and go back to the future, or so the Charlotte Hornets hope. Does it seem like 25 years ago that Charlotte was awarded its first pro franchise and the Hornets became an overnight sensation, filling the old Charlotte Coliseum on Tivola and setting NBA attendance records for years? The old Hornets weren't great, gradually building toward a playoff team behind Alonzo Mourning. But the buzz created by having pro basketball in town was real. Of course, owner George Shannon, a rags-to-riches millionaire, screwed all that up with a messy personal life and a messier divorce with the city that would not make improvements to the Coliseum that has since been demolished. NBA Commissioner David Stern took it personally when the Hornets fled to New Orleans, and he promised Charlotte an expansion franchise, which it got under new owner Bobcat Johnson, creator of Black Entertainment Television. The Bobcats got a new arena in downtown Charlotte, and by then the NFL Panthers had become the pro sports sensation of the Queen City. And though it took Jordan years to buy Johnson out and find a coach who could take the team to the playoffs, the Hornets' name seems to be turning at the right time. The team has doubled its victory total over the last two seasons and has some good young players that are easier to like than the early Bobcat losers. Sporting goods stores in Charlotte had racks and racks of fire sale Bobcats jerseys, while the retail shelves were cleared for the new Hornets gear. Even the mascot Hugo will return to the team, although I think the Dunkin' Gorilla is probably a thing of the past. Like Disney and Bruce Springsteen, parents can now relive with their children the magic of their youth and hopefully recapture the Hornets phenomenon with the renewed teal-tinted uniforms. Jordan may not be in town a lot, but at least he won't run the Hornets out of town like his creepy predecessor. The Hornets are back to stay. Hopefully, so will the buzz over pro basketball in North Carolina. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
You think it's easy being a Tar Heel fan? I'm a Tar Heel fan and have lived in Raleigh my whole life, right in the heart of Wolfpack country. My older brother's probably the biggest NC State fan in the world. So if you think it's easy being a Tar Heel fan, let me tell you, it really is. I'm Blake Smith and I'm with CEI, the source in the Triangle for your office equipment needs. If you want office solutions, or if you just want to celebrate Carolina's latest victory, visit me online at copycei.com. You'll be glad you did, and so will your office. Go Heels!
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
Chick-fil-A in University Mall is partnering with Fayetteville Cares to collect care package items for deployed soldiers this Memorial Day Monday. Get a grilled chicken sandwich in exchange for bringing in at least three collectible items, such as protein breakfast bars, packs of tuna fish, chapstick, and individual packs of nuts. Chick-fil-A will also give current soldiers and veterans a free grilled chicken sandwich by showing their military IDs. Celebrate Memorial Day through the care package collection and by purchasing a one-day-only red, white, and blue milkshake at Chick-fil-A in University Mall. That will take place on Monday, Memorial Day, from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m.
My house is really spent. Every inch of it is low rent. No class, I'm such a nerd. It's time to call Cedarburg. It just really makes good sense. 30 years experience. Call the man with means and the dream team. Bill Cedarburg.
For more information, go to CedarburgKitchens.com.
Are you interested in increasing safe and convenient walking and bicycling options for Carrboro's elementary and middle schools? If so, you should apply to the newly created Safe Routes to School Committee. The town is recruiting applicants for this committee with meetings scheduled to begin in 2015. For more information, please visit the Town of Carrboro's message board at townofcarrboro.org or call Kathy Wilson, town clerk, at 919-918-7309. She'll be happy to speak with you about the process.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile, local store, global selection, at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, or find us online at besttile.com.
Chapel Hill Carborough Meals on Wheels wishes to thank all the sponsors of Dining for Dollars, a fundraiser that will be held June 5th at Hickory Tavern in Carborough. We especially appreciate the support of Performance Subaru, Hickory Tavern, Silverback Asset Management, and Food Logic. You can learn more about this event by visiting chcmow.org or calling 919-942-2948. And, as usual, many thanks to WCHL for caring about our community.
Today's your last chance at a great offer from OurLocalDeal.com from DSI Comedy Theater. It's half off, $20 worth of tickets, available until midnight for $10. Entertaining audiences North Carolina and across America. With a unique and energetic approach to the alternative comedy scene, DSI has earned a reputation as the best comedy theater in the South, with its critically acclaimed performance of improv, sketch, and stand-up comedy. Come laugh inside the new location on 462 West Franklin Street. It's half off from DSI Comedy Theater. It's available until midnight, so get it now at coldeal.com.
WCHL, good morning. It is 8:30. Time for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you by Cruisers. It is 65 degrees, a lot of sunshine today, just a slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s, about 88 degrees. Tomorrow, we're going to be up around 90, but otherwise, the weather is pretty much going to be the same. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves the best tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. It's not just a VA facility in Phoenix that reportedly had patient backlogs and hid that fact. Now, says correspondent Susan McGinnis,
the number of VA medical centers under investigation has now more than doubled since this scandal came to light about a month ago. Several lawmakers here on Capitol Hill are now proposing legislation to deal with the VA medical center problems and are calling on the White House to take stronger action.
The president and Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki discussed the situation at the White House in about 90 minutes, and there could be action coming on Capitol Hill.
Today, House lawmakers are expected to take up a bill that would give Secretary Shinseki more power to fire senior managers within the agency. Calls have been growing for the secretary himself to resign, but he has vowed to push forward. The White House has said the president has expressed full confidence in Shinseki.
And White House Deputy Chief of Staff Rob Neighbors will be flying to Phoenix to keep tabs on the investigation. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832, 65 degrees, lots of sunshine at WCHL. I'm Ron Stetz. No tax increase for Orange County residents. Next year's Orange County budget does not include a tax increase, but officials say it's getting harder to balance the budget using reserve funds. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
If approved as written, next year's county budget will be the sixth in a row without a property tax rate increase. But interim Orange County Manager Michael Talbert told the board that streak can't continue for much longer.
This trend is not sustainable, obviously. There will be tax increases in the future.
The $195 million budget is about 4.2% larger than last year's, and it's balanced using $8.5 million from the county's fund balance. Talbert said the amount of reserve money required to balance the budget keeps going up each year.
In 2010-11, the board appropriated $401,000 to balance the budget. This year, it's $8.5 million. Considerable difference, but the budget is balanced.
The budget includes money for a 2% cost of living and merit raise for county employees and funding for an engineering study to bring sewer service to Rogers Road. When it comes to school spending, the budget proposal allocates $92.3 million, nearly $3 million more than last year, which amounts to an additional $95 per student, or a total of $3,364,000 per pupil. But the plan doesn't fully fund the budget request from either school district. Board members have the option to raise the countywide property tax rate or the Chapel Hill Carborough Special District tax rate to generate more money for schools. Commissioners will host two public hearings on the budget scheduled for May 22nd and 29th. The final budget will be adopted by June 17th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A state superior court judge has denied the public release of a spreadsheet identifying UNC student-athletes enrolled in so-called paper classes. The News and Observer reports that Judge Brian Collins issued that ruling on Monday. The NNO had sued the university for the release of the spreadsheet, which lists each class and how many athletes meet sport were enrolled. Earlier in the month, Judge Collins had ruled that the spreadsheet could be released if it did not identify particular athletes by name. But on Monday, Judge Collins ruled that the information contained in the spreadsheet could be used to identify specific athletes based on other public records currently available. The Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, or FERPA, is the law in question. It protects the privacy of student records. WCHL News Time, 8:34.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Lisi Guthridge, Cedars member since 2012. Here's what Lisi had to say.
Bill wasn't sure about moving to the Cedars, and one reason was that he wanted our golden retriever, Maggie, to be comfortable. But the Cedars is very dog-friendly, with lots of dogs and dog walkers who go by our cottage and visit with her. The mailman even stops and gives her a treat. Once we needed to take her to the vet, and we're having trouble getting her in the car, so we just called security, and people were there in a minute to help. In fact, help with anything is only a phone call away. On another note, Glenn O'Neill does a great job with the food. We always loved his restaurants, and we're so glad he's here. It makes entertaining guests here for dinner very easy. Bill didn't really want to move from the house we built and come to the Cedars, but we are all so glad we did. Even Maggie loves it.
Thanks, Lisi. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile, local store, global selection, at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, or find us online at besttile.com.
This is Stacy Chapman at the Print Shop in University Mall. We would like to congratulate all those graduates out there with some great diploma framing deals. Our beautiful UNC diploma frames are on sale now for $125. Even the student stores and downtown shops can't beat that. And don't fret if you want to pick out your own custom order or match another school's colors. We're offering 20% off all diploma and certificate framing the entire month of May, only at the Print Shop. For over 40 years, your art, print, and framing store in University Mall.
Hello, this is Freddie Kiger of WCHL, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News with my good buddy, Ron Stutz.
Well, thank you, Freddie. 836 at WCHL, it's Ron Stutz, and Zach Godwin of ChapelBro.com is here sitting at the Twitter desk. And what are folks tweeting about? What are our tweeps saying today?
Good retention, Ron.
See, I learned this stuff, you know.
Well, I believe you are a fan of a band known as Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, you could say that.
All right. Well, their song, Stairway to Heaven, is apparently being accused of plagiarism. Did you see this yesterday?
Randy California of Spirit.
Do you know Spirit?
Yeah, absolutely. But I totally disagree with this lawsuit. First of all, why in the world would you wait 40 years to claim it?
Yeah, well, apparently, that was my first question as well.
Yeah.
It says he passed away some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But his family apparently has waited until now to challenge the song's authorship because they did not have means to pay for attorneys. It says, at the end of California's life, he would play sitar in an Indian restaurant in exchange for food.
Now they didn't have money for an attorney for the last four decades, but now they have money for an attorney because Led Zeppelin has all these new releases coming out. That's really
a little bit of a
here.
Coincidence, you might say.
Yeah, right.
They're re-releasing all their first three albums in June, and so their attorney is trying to prevent the release of Led Zeppelin 4.
Uh-huh.
And apparently all they want is for Randy California to get writing credit.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps it'll now be Led Zeppelin featuring Randy California, Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
And you can listen to the track, I'll post a link to it,
okay,
of their song, Taurus is the name of the song.
Uh-huh.
It kind of sounds sort of like Stairway to Heaven. I don't know how judges determine how similar a song sounds.
Well, I know that Led Zeppelin actually had Spirit open up for them on a tour at one time.
Yeah, it says they played four gigs together in 1968 and 69,
yeah,
including shows where they played the song Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably Led Zeppelin would also have played. Well, no, I guess Stairway to Heaven hadn't come out yet.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. Well, anyway, we'll wait and see what happens, I guess. But I know
I wanted to get your take, knowing you're a bit of a Led Zeppelin fan.
I know that a lot of people are tweeting about that, and a lot of people really kind of think it's ridiculous. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I mean, you know, George Harrison got sued for My Sweet Lord supposedly being a ripoff of He's So Fine by the Chiffons, which is another ridiculous lawsuit. But they won. So, you know, he had to pay. Maybe Led Zeppelin will have to pay.
Yeah.
Randy California's estate.
See if you've written any songs that sound like a Led Zeppelin song. Maybe you can join in.
I doubt it. Hey, listen, Dazed and Confused. That, you know, I may have had something to do with that. I'm rather dazed and confused a lot of the time. Hey, thanks a bunch. If folks want to tweet us, how do they do that?
It's just at Chapelboro or at WCHL.
All right. Thank you very much. Zach Godwin.
Thanks, Ron.
839 at WCHL. This is Ron Stutz at 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. A couple of special guests in the studio here this morning, and this is going to be near and dear to every baseball fan. Terry Sturdivant, Chapel Hill's number one baseball fan, is here. And how you doing, Terry?
Doing great, Ron. How about you?
Terry is here from Sturdivant Tire Pros. Highway 54 West is 5 quick minutes out of downtown Carrboro. And he does something special for high school baseball. He's done it every year. And first of all, tell us about your special guest who's here today.
Well, I've got Coach Woodell from East Chapel Hill High School here today, and it's an honor to have him. Him and I have had this relationship now for 11 years, I think it is. This is the 11th fundraiser we've had, and he's the only coach that's left that when we started this thing. So.
I was going to say, Terry supports all our local high school baseball teams, but you're the only coach who's been around during that entire time, so you must feel pretty special.
Well, I just hadn't made enough people mad yet to run me away. But, yeah, we are lucky to have Terry, and I speak for all the coaches, even those that have departed or gone to different ways. We're very appreciative of Terry's support.
All right, Terry's getting on the right track now. It sounded like a train coming through, but I guess it's your phone, right?
Yeah, that was the phone.
You got other baseball fans down here trying to get in touch with you. How is it exactly, for the folks who don't know, that you support local high school baseball?
Well, we have 5 local teams, East Chapel Hill, Chapel Hill, Cedar Ridge, Carrboro, and Northwood High School out of Pittsburgh that we do a fundraiser for every year. And we usually try to start it in February, March, and April, those 3 months. Mm-hmm. And we just give a portion of our proceeds for every new tire we sell towards those programs.
Mm-hmm. You did it this year during the month of March and
March
April.
March and April, yeah,
And here we are in May. And how much money did you raise?
Well, we were able to give this year $500 per high school.
Oh,
so
great.
$2,500.
Fantastic. Coach Woodell, what are you going to do with that money?
Well, I mean, we certainly put it to good use. I mean, when you think that a case of baseballs will run you $350, close to $400, we'll get a case of baseball and a little more. A few more balls to get us through the season, because we use probably a couple of cases a year.
Oh, yeah. That's really fantastic when you got an outstanding high school baseball team like yours and some of the others in the area. And you go through a lot of equipment, and you also, at the same time, you need to have the very best equipment. And that's why Terry does this, so that you guys can have the best that you can get. Terry, I know that you got lots of things going on at your business. Tell us what's going on right now during the month of May.
Well, we've got Michelin promos coming up. That one rolls back around again on Monday, and I've just got a good group of guys. We've got 3 good technicians working there now, and a good staff, and we just joined the Tire Pros team. I think we announced that last time, which is a nationwide franchise-type organization that's enabled us to give nationwide warranties and also give us a little bit better buying power. It's our same staff. We're still maintaining our independence, but it's just really, really good for our customers. It's been a really good move for us.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you got the name change. Went from Sturdivant's Tire and Auto, now it's Sturdivant's Tire Pros, still location, same people. We got Howard out there giving everybody a hard time and everything else. So it's a great place to go, folks, and just barely out of town. Coach Woodell, just for the folks who haven't followed your program so closely, tell us about this season and how that's gone.
Well, this season we finished in 2nd place in our league, and we got the number 2 seed. And unfortunately, we lost in the first round of the playoffs to Leesville Road 3-0.
Yeah.
But we have had a good season. You know, we won 15 games. And, you know, when you get to this point, you know, in the playoffs, everybody's good, and that was certainly the point.
Anything can happen.
That's right.
And there's so many games. I mean, you know, we watch the Tar Heels all the time, and they lost so many games this year and struggled. But, you know, that's a team that nationally is always competing for the national championship. So, Coach Woodell, what are your prospects for next baseball season?
Well, for next year, we're returning a lot of pitching, mm-hmm. and we need to swing the bat a little better. But I think next year we'll be right on par with where we are this year. Hopefully, we will be. And we play in a good conference, and we play good competition. So hopefully we'll continue to take steps forward.
You can't help but be a baseball fan when you live in this area, because we got some great baseball teams around here. Got Durham Bulls over there, and everything else. So that contributes to all the excitement. Terry Sturtevant, you're the man with a lot of energy, and you do this every year. You're going to do it for the 12th year next year?
Absolutely. As long as I'm around, I plan on continuing this affiliation with all the high school baseball programs, because they've got good guys, good coaches. It's the America's sport, as you would say, as I mm-hmm. still like to call it. There's something about baseball I've always loved.
Terry, you've just always been a big baseball fan. Even when you were a little kid, you were, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, has he ever gotten out on the baseball diamond with you, and maybe you could give him a few pointers?
I walked out there and talked to him. Does that count?
Yeah, I think that would work well. I could do that, too. Hey, thanks a lot, you guys, for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Terry Sturtevant and Sturtevant's Tire Pros. That's where you can find him, Coach Phil Waddell, coach at East Chapel Hill High School. Thanks, you guys, and have a great day and a great weekend.
Ron, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Look at these pictures of Mom and Dad from college. Those glasses are frightening.
If you're considering LASIK surgery, check out the experienced team at the UNC Kittner Eye Center.
No kidding. Those glasses are enormous.
We offer the highest quality laser solutions and the best technology available.
Kind of makes you wonder what we'll look like when we're their age.
Call us to schedule a screening today. 30 years from now, you may very well thank us again. The UNC Kittner Eye Center. Call 919-445-2020 or visit us at UNCI.org.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
66 degrees and sunshine, 8:46 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Bruce Curran. Now that we're finished with the third most important sporting event in America, the NFL Draft, we can get back to talking about real sports. One of the nice things about living here is that we can talk about Carolina basketball 24/7 and 365. So Carolina has the number 3 or 4 recruiting class coming in this year. They have virtually everybody of note coming back from last year's 24-10 squad, and many of the pundits have them solidly in the top 5 in next November's preseason poll. That sounds great, but as Lee Corso on Football's College Game Day says, not so fast, my friend. There are clearly a number of areas where the team needs significant improvement. Lou Piniella, longtime manager of the Yankees, once said, "Statistics do not tell you everything, but they do tell you a lot." And many of the Heels' stats from last season are absolutely abysmal. Out of all 351 teams in Division I, there were only 4 teams who were worse from the arc than the Tar Heels. And if you watch the NCAA, Kentucky and UConn, who both probably had no business being in the Final Four, let alone in the final game, did it almost exclusively on great outside shooting. And like a lot of teams that don't shoot well, it wasn't just that Carolina put up a lot of shots and missed them to get that horrendous percentage. No, no. They put up among the smallest number of shots in Division I and missed them anyway. So much for working hard for good shots. Now, Roy, bless his heart, has had more lines in the water trolling for shooters than the Japanese tuna fleet, but he came up empty again this year. And free throwing? Well, what can you say about that? They were among the bottom 10 teams in all of Division I in 2013. Tar Heels missed 350 free throws last year. I admit, right now things look good on paper, but maybe they need to pay a little more attention to these stats for the team to be where the fans want them to be in April. I think John Wooden of UCLA said it best. Don't measure yourself by what you've accomplished, but by what you should have accomplished given your ability. I guess we'll see. This is Bruce Curran.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Mary Young. Chapel Hill is sifting through a handful of redevelopment plans, most of which have faced strong opposition. We hit the streets to find out how you feel about the recent proposals for Chapel Hill development.
My name is Catherine, and I live in the Glen Lennox Apartments in Chapel Hill. And I think development, while it has positives and negatives, we should be wary of it and how much it actually affects the community around it.
Hi, my name is Brendan.
I live in the Chapel Hill area, and I think that this would be a really good thing because we needed more businesses. There's a lot of people around here that are looking for new jobs, just job search in general.
My name is Kaylee Trieger, and I live in Chapel Hill. And I think it's great that they're trying to create new jobs and new opportunities to increase and help the economy, but I'm worried about the potential problems that it could cause for the roads.
How do you feel about the development planning processes going on in Chapel Hill right now?
My name's Nancy. I grew up in Chapel Hill, and I don't like the growing of the town. It loses a small town feel that we've always had, and I just want to keep it that way.
My name is Beverly. I am from Chapel Hill. Matter of fact, I have a business in Chapel Hill. It's on Mertmere Road, and we have one of those buildings that you're trying to put in that area, and it's not benefiting anyone at all. Then you can't fill them up. The prices are too high.
My name's Jennifer. I work in University Mall. I travel from Creedmoor, which is in Granville County, every day for work. That area that they're wanting to expand in for business, I don't think it's a good idea. Way too much traffic. It's going to create more problems. I already have enough problems driving over here, back and forth every day, so I just don't think it's a good idea.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT, managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Good morning, it is 8:50 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
May 20th. Did you miss it again this year? Well, most North Carolinians today do not recognize that date, even though it is enshrined on our state flag and our official state seal. And it was the anniversary of the May 20th, 1775, Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence. That was more than a year before the July 4th, 1776, American Declaration of Independence. Well, the Mecklenburg Declaration includes language asserting independence from Great Britain, and it's echoing or anticipating the American Declaration of Independence. Here's an example. Resolve that we do hereby declare ourselves a free and independent people, that we are and of right ought to be a sovereign and self-governing people under the power of God and the General Congress, to the maintenance of which independence we solemnly pledge to each other our mutual cooperation, our lives, our fortunes, and our most sacred honor. That sounds like Thomas Jefferson, doesn't it? Well, the truth is that few people knew about this Mecklenburg Declaration until 1819, when a Raleigh newspaper first published it, along with an account of the events leading up to it. In fact, for the 44 years between 1775 and this publication in 1819, there had been no other publication of this text of the Mecklenburg Declaration. All that changed in 1819 because newspapers across the country picked up this story, and it launched a nationwide firestorm of interest and argument about the Mecklenburg Declaration. Former President John Adams wrote Thomas Jefferson suggesting that the Mecklenburg Declaration had been the source of Jefferson's words in the American Declaration, and Jefferson responded that the Mecklenburg version was spurious. Well, when Jefferson's letters became known, this spurious description prompted loyal North Carolinians to stand up for the validity of their state's early version of the Declaration of Independence. And in 1981, to solve this matter, the state legislature established a special committee to settle what had become known as the Mecklenburg Controversy. And the committee, after an investigation, included interviews or statements from 13 eyewitnesses of those events in May 1775, concluded that the Mec Dec was genuine. The committee's report did not quiet the controversy, but its sanction did give credibility and cover to the state's official embrace of the Mec Dec. And for 150 years of our bragging about our first in freedom status. Well, recently, though, according to Scott Seifert, who's the author of a new book, The First American Declaration of Independence, The Disputed History of the Mecklenburg Declaration of May 20th, 1975. That's the title of the book. But he says that interest has diminished. Well, that leads to questions. Well, why was there so little known and reported about the Mecklenburg Declaration before 1819? And then why, after more than 150 years of attention, has interest in the Mech Dec waned? Well, in his new book, Seifert deals with both these questions. He also lays out the facts, pro and con, so his readers can form their own conclusions about the Mech Dec. Seifert says that he began his research as a believer, but became a skeptic as he reviewed the many challenges to the Declaration's authority. Finally, though, all the evidence convinced him that the story of its adoption was true. Well, because he respectfully presents the opinions of both adherents and detractors, Seifert gives his readers a really welcome chance to come to their own informed conclusions about a riddle that could be called North Carolina's Da Vinci Code. This is D.G. Martin.
Thank you, D.G. 855 at WCHL. You remember Wayne's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? And what's the definition? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answer. If you are our first correct caller, I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back, and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
All right, already Carl Smith of Mevin called in with the word of the day. It is crescent, C-R-E-S-C-E-N-T. It means growing or increasing. It does not mean a shape like a crescent roll. And Carl Smith gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. That's the word of the day from Wayne Pond, WCHL. It's 8:56.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstration by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Beth Posner is on the line, and Beth is today's WCHL hometown hero. She's a very special mom, according to her daughter, Lily Posner Hess. And Beth, why do you think your daughter sent us a nomination?
No, she read it to me. I thought it was very sweet. I don't know. I do all the kinds of things I hope, I don't know, that I hope a lot of mothers do. I somehow manage to work and spend time with my kids. And
well, you're clearly uncomfortable talking about yourself and all your great qualities. So let me just read to everybody what Lily had to say about you. Beth Posner is a wonderful mom. She works at UNC School of Law. She teaches immigration law to students. She uses her life to help people. She teaches me and my sisters about politics. Almost every morning she turns on the radio, she drives me to school, and she's listening to the news on WCHL, I presume. She says, my mom works hard. She is the person who went to Moral Mondays to protest. She was the person who went house to house making people informed about Amendment 1, telling people to vote against it. My mother is the smartest person I know. She comes home some days and she's exhausted. She just needs to sit down and there to be silence for a couple of minutes. Lily goes on to say, but she still loves us even if there's a day when my sisters and I fight. She's always there when I have a bad day. She listens to me and she helps me. I love my mom, and that's why I am nominated.
Oh, that's very sweet.
That is really cool, Beth. How old is Lily?
Lily is 12.
And you say she has two sisters?
She has two sisters. My younger sister, Amelia, who's 9, almost 10 years old, and an older sister, Rebecca, who's 14 and a freshman at Carver High School.
Must be really crazy in your house having three daughters.
It is a little crazy. We have three daughters and two Basset Hounds. We got a lot going on.
And your husband is clearly outnumbered.
He is, but the Basset Hounds are both boys.
Almost evens it out. Beth, I happen to know that you're a really nice person. I don't know what kind of mom you are, so I'll just have to take Lily's word for it.
I am definitely a mom who sometimes needs to have a little quiet when I get home from work, so she's right about that. And we do listen to the news on the radio, much to my daughter's
chagrin.
Desire to do otherwise.
I'm sure she wants to listen to music or something, but at any rate, I'm glad you are so well-informed so you can teach them to be well-informed.
Thank you. A little indoctrination in the home is not a bad thing.
No, it's not. Thank you so much for doing everything you do in the community. I happen to know that you do a lot of good things in the community, and this is just one way that we can honor you. And you are today's WCHL Hometown Hero, another very special mom on WCHL.
Great. Thank you so much, Ron.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
It's a beautiful day. Don't let it slip away. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Look for a high today of 88.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. The head of a troubled cabinet department has been called to a White House meeting an hour from now. Live to the White House and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
And Frank, Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki has a sudden Oval Office appointment with the president.